Good evening, folks, and welcome. It's indeed my privilege to interview a pioneer in Jamaican, Marva Shan McIntosh. Marva is a national certified speech language pathologist with working in the District of Columbia Public School. She holds a master's degree in speech communication from Tennessee State University. Her responsibilities include evaluating students' ability to listen for educational and social benefits and providing goals for therapeutic intervention. Most recently, in August of 2004, she served as a supervisor of speech pathology and audiological services for over 4,000 students and families in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Her professional activities include membership in the International Listening Association, the American Speech, Language, and Hearing Association, and the District of Columbia Speech, Language, Hearing Association. As part of an ongoing commitment to forging partnership between public school and educational institution, Marva consulted as a teacher partner for the Smithsonian Institute, Center of Education and Museum Studies. She also guest lectures on listening at various colleges and university campuses. Her work with community organizations and professional bodies is considerable and includes school board chair and PTA leader for the George E. Peters Elementary School in Hightsville, Maryland, president of the Metropolitan Health Professional Association, and producer radio reading service of WLRH-FM, Huntsville, Abbott, Alabama, and this was in the year 1980 and 1981. Marva has presented papers at national conferences, organized health fairs in Antigua, St. Lucia, of course, Jamaica, Guyana, as well as in the state of Maryland. She is a recipient of 4 Outstanding Leadership Awards. Welcome, Marva, to the Your Genius Network Conversation Series.
Thank you, Chris. It's really a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
Wonderful. As you know, we try to address the needs and the concerns and the achievements within the Jamaican community. So my first question to you is, tell us a little about your Jamaican roots. Where do you hail from?
Junction, St. Elizabeth. Beautiful junction, I should say. Beautiful junction, St. Elizabeth. Bordering almost on not too far from Manchester. And we can see the rolling hills of Spur Tree and Alligator Pond.
Wow.
Yes.
So what would take you with such an Edenic place to such a jungle as the Washington, D.C. metropolitan region?
My family migrated to the United States in 75 actually, and so here I am. And consequently, I end up at Howard University.
Uh-huh.
I went there for my first degree and fell in love with the city.
Okay.
Yes.
I see your, as you said, your educational background is that of a speech pathologist. I know you do associate that with someone working with a tongue. But here you are doing a lot of stuff around listening that has to do with the ears. How did you get involved with the ears?
Well, actually, a speech-language pathologist practice centers around communication disorders. And
okay.
That includes speaking, listening, processing information, swallowing, and so on. But in addition to my degree in speech communications, I also have a minor in audiology, and that involves the hearing. However, my passion for listening came about from several things. My background, of course, as I told you, and my natural talent as a listener, and my quest for taking action on my passion.
All right. But this idea of you've pioneered this I Love to Listen Day, which is coming up this coming Saturday, May the 16th. You did not come to that easily. Tell us, what was the journey like to embrace this issue with such passion that you have?
Well, listening is not easy. You know, I was very reluctant to move on with, once I declared that this was my passion, I was very reluctant because I didn't know anyone around me who was working in that area, working in the area of listening. And listening is not popular. It is not sexy. It's an idea that is hard to sell. And so I was wondering, how am I going to make money doing this type of thing? It's hard, but someone has to do it because everyone wants someone to listen to them, but no one wants to do the work. So
okay.
It's an important work that needs to be done.
Okay. So just for the audience's sake, could you give us your professional perspective as define what listening means to you?
Listening from a professional standpoint, listening is a very complex behavior. It's like eating hard food, but it nourishes us so much when it's done that it's all worth it. Listening requires hearing, of course, and sometimes you hear with your ears, sometimes you hear with your eyes, and it means also assigning a meaning to what you hear. And then there's some memory work. You got to hold it there in the brain for a little bit and then taking action. But my short definition of all of that is hearing is a function of the ear, but listening is a function of the will. You have to will yourself to listen.
You have to will yourself to listen. Wonderful.
Yes.
So it takes a lot of discipline to actually practice this. That's why we have so much challenges around this.
Exactly. And the sad thing about it, Chris, is that they don't teach listening in school. They teach you to read. They teach you to write. They teach you to speak sometimes. But there's no such thing as a listening class per se. The little bit of listening that we do in school is buried under language arts, and that's so unfortunate because once you graduate and you leave school, one of the things that employers look for is your listening skills.
Okay. You have such a passion for this thing that you went out and you created and pioneered a day that's adopted not just here in the United States but around the world. It's I Love to Listen Day. Tell us about how you went about establishing this day to increase our love of listening and our gift of listening.
Well, one of my many goals for the Listening Project is to spread the word, you know, globally. And in 2004, I went to a writers' conference and met a gentleman who had a project called I Love to Write Day. I was inspired by it, and I told him, I emailed him, John Riddle, and I said, you know, I'm really inspired by what you've done for writing, and I'd like to do the same thing for listening. And he said, well, you need to research and make sure that that day does not already exist. I did my research, and I didn't see anything out there that resembled that. I said, you know, it seemed like the coast is clear. He said, go for it. He even said, I wish I had thought about the idea, Marva. I
mm-hmm.
wish you success, and I want you to go forward with it. So, now here we are, you know. That we started actually in 2006, and here we are, 2009, still going.
Wonderful. And I know it's observed in several countries. Could you tell us the scope of this activity and events?
In 2006, as I said, we started with 16 countries and 16 United States. That was the goal. And I just picked the number 16 because I Love to Listen Day is May the 16th. And so we were very successful that year. We were able to have listening activities in 16 countries and more than 16 states at the time. And with each year, we have grown a little bit. And this year, we've decided to take the bold step to celebrate listening activities in 50 countries and all of the 50 United States.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what do you hope for people from participating in these listening activities? What are they you hoping for them to gain from it?
Well, as human beings, listening is one of our deepest longings. Everyone wants someone to listen to him or her, but no one wants to do the hard work. However, listening is a rewarding experience. When it's done well, it is one of the most rewarding experiences. When it's not done at all, it is costly. It costs the individual as well as the society. So my hope for individuals who participate in this day is to develop a positive attitude towards listening and develop the willingness. Remember we said earlier that listening is really a function of the will.
Right.
Yes, so I would like to encourage folk to develop a willingness to be the first to listen. So, for example, Chris, if you and I get together, I would be the first to listen.
Okay.
As Stephen Covey said, seek first to understand. That's my hope for this year and for years to come, that people who participate in listening will want to be that first person to do the listening.
Hey, that's wonderful, Marva. And so what are some of the activities planned to celebrate this very momentous day?
Well, people all over the world will celebrate listening in their own way. There are several activities that they could do. I know there's a school where they have the children writing poems about listening. There are people who are developing listening traditions in their home, people going to nursing homes and just listening to the elderly. There are many, many things. People can write their own definition of listening. So there are varying things that people can do for listening. This year, I Love to Listen Day falls on a Saturday, and, you know, many people will participate in church activities that includes listening. And where I am, there will be a service, and this service will be broadcast on Praise Vision, and I will be giving an award to an exceptional listener in our community. And I ask this group of teachers to select a young person who is an exceptional leader, because I want to start with the young ones so
right.
that they think it is possible to be an exceptional listener. And we're not looking for a perfect listener because we all have listening challenges. But I want this thing to become a tradition within our community. And so I'm starting with a young person. I'll be giving an exceptional listener award to this person. But one of the exciting things that we have going is a listening coupon. And, you know, people can go to my website, ilovetolisten.com, and download this coupon. And all this coupon says is that I am willing to listen to you with undivided attention for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, any length of time that you want to listen to this person, and the person can redeem the coupon whenever they feel like they would like to have you listen to them.
Well, that's a great way of promoting it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it has taken off. People are starting to use this coupon. I got an email from a friend in Ethiopia. He's in Addis, and he said, I am circulating this across the city, and people, you know, one or two of my friends have said they have received coupons, listening coupons already.
Okay.
Yes, and in a school here in the Washington, D.C. area, the teacher has set up, the principal actually has set up an activity all week long for the students to share these coupons. So the coupon is gone worldwide, and I'm asking everybody to send coupons to as many people as they see, as they can. And the object of the game is not to see how many coupons you receive, but how many coupons you're able to send. That's
wow.
The object of that game. Yes, yes, yes. So
it's
they're
so
free
like
to
it's
copy
getting it. A viral sense to it.
Yes. Yes, yes. And listening is a gift. It's one of the most precious gifts that we could give to anyone. And so the coupon.
That's neat. One of the things that as you share that and you share the issue around kids, one of the burdens of my heart is the violence that we have in Jamaica. We know part of this is it's dealt into socioeconomic factor. But in addition to that, there's some social intelligence issues that are involved that is involved with listening and the respect that we have for each other. How do you see a program like I Love to Listen have an impact and some of the violence that we see in Jamaica?
I think that a program such as this would really help, because when you see a person who does not feel understood, you see a very wounded and disturbed person. Okay. And what I would do, if given the opportunity to present this listening program in Jamaica, I would start with first things first, and that is train parents to be the first to listen. Parents and teachers have to be willing to be the role model, because they say listening is easier caught than taught. So you have to be that role model to our children, so they can see the behavior that you want from them. Then the next thing that they would do is reinforce that behavior that they want from the children and do it consistently.
Okay.
You know, so that means in the past we heard that children should be seen and not heard. No, we're throwing that out. The concept here is children must be seen, be heard, and believed. Because to feel understood is one of the most powerful experiences there is. And many of our children are missing out on that experience. Some of them feel as if they do not have a voice, and that they are not valued, and that they have no say-so, and what they say doesn't matter. And so many of them will just give up and turn to violence or whatever. But with this listening program, you know, we will help to develop a culture, because we have already established a culture of wounded souls.
Okay.
And what the listening program will do is somewhat of a healing and a retraining of respecting each other, you know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, the whole thing,
okay,
about feeling respected and valuable.
You've also written a poem, if I'm not incorrect, that expresses some of the principles about listening.
Okay. Before I go to the poem, Chris,
yes,
I just want to talk about social intelligence, because I
okay,
think you had mentioned that in the question earlier.
Yes.
And listening is one of the truest indicators of social intelligence.
Okay.
After a while, your IQ doesn't matter. How smart you are doesn't matter. What matters is how well you're able to understand people around you. No matter how smart you are, if you're not able to listen and understand the people around you, then you seem like a smart aleck. Because if someone has a supervisor, so the closer the relationship is, the greater the need for listening. And that's why it's so critical in a love relationship, in parent-child relationship, in boss and employee relationship. All of those close relationships requires significant amount of listening skills. And there comes your social intelligence. And if you see a child, you say, well, this child is slow, but this child has a good attitude and is a good listener, typically that child will go much farther in life than the one who has a very high IQ and has not taken the time to develop the listening skills.
So you're telling me we've all these years worshipped at the footstool of IQ, when there's a more powerful intelligence that we should be paying much more careful attention and practice to?
Oh, definitely, definitely, because we rise, you know, what it said, our attitude determines our altitude.
Yes.
They didn't say your IQ determines your altitude. It's really your attitude towards each other, and that comes all the way back around to listening.
Wonderful. Thank you for that great insight, Marva. Now for your poem.
Okay.
And it was so powerful.
All righty. I wrote the poem because I myself needed to stay reminded or stay focused on what listening is all about. And this poem has caught on, and it is now translated into 8 different languages. So the title of the poem is Today I Will Listen. Today I will listen without interrupting, without prejudice, without second-guessing, without gazing, without rehearsing, without discounting, without filtering, without correcting, without contradicting. Today, I will just listen. Today, I will listen with attention, with humility, with respect, with patience, with understanding, with awe, with gladness, with empathy, with warmth, with gratitude, with reverence. Today, I will just listen.
Wow, that's so comprehensive. If I wanted a copy of this poem or to get you to come lecture at my job or a community center or have a workshop, how would I go about contacting you?
Easy. They could go to my website, ilovetolisten.com.
Okay.
And there they could find also my email address, which is ilovetolisten2@yahoo.com. And I'm also on Facebook. I Love to Listen Day on Facebook. And I also have a phone number, a telephone number, 301-809-9726. So any one of those methods, they are welcome to contact me. We've done workshops with youth groups, with leaders, with healthcare providers, with couples. And that's a wonderful thing about listening. It's such a transferable skill that we are able to fit this to match just about any group. But what I'd like to encourage the audience to do is to take some time out on Saturday and make sure you do something deliberate, some listening, some deliberate listening activity on I Love to Listen Day.
I know I'm going to be getting one of those coupons or several of those coupons and share them because I think it's one of the greatest gifts I could share with someone. Thank you so much, Marvel, for your pioneering effort, for you taking us to learn what social intelligence is. It's greater than our IQ, and to give us improved hears, give us hears that are coupled to our hearts that we can build stronger relationships. Continued blessing for all of your many efforts.
Thank you so much, Chris, and it was a pleasure being with you and your audience today.
Thank you.
Thank you.